If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings from the divine light and love of the most radiant one. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening, our seminar topic is, so, what's your story? What is your life about? And what is your story? How does it define you? And is that what you really want your life to be about? Well, we're going to look at that tonight. So, let's start by integrating your multidimensional continuum of consciousness. See yourself as never leaving Source, but as an extension of individualized, unique beingness, a unique impression of divine love and truth and light and revelation through your own story, which is a page in the great book of life, of God's story. Each life, another page. And what will ultimately be the magnificent story of your many, many adventures in time and space. So let's take a deep breath. And as you integrate your multidimensional continuum of beingness, call yourself also forward into the presence of your spiritual upline, those who have fostered and mentored you in multi-dimensional appearances in time and space, an unfoldment of your consciousness. Acknowledge all of them with great gratitude and loving. And we always do this work on this planet through the office of the Christ, the Order of Melchizedek, the King and King and Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus the Christ, and all of those ascended masters that stand in with him in service to humanity. And then there's us, the ground crew, and we are extensions of that greater purpose and ministry into time and space. We work as a great coordinated team of light bearers in this and a myriad of worlds. And so tonight we want to define more clearly what our life is about. What is the story that is being scripted in this particular page of your appearance in time and space? And if you would like, take this opportunity to move into a deeper level of releasing that which has been your limited story, your negative story, and allowing the grace of the Christ to simply absolve, erase, blot out, cleanse, and heal all of the memories that are no longer serving you today. All you need to do is release it into the love of the Christ. And the negativity is dissolved back into the nothingness from which it's come. And that makes room for greater truth to fill you, greater empowerment, greater love, greater joy, greater spiritual vitality. And then your part in all of this is to forgive yourself and anyone that was part of your negative drama, and release it all, permanently and for good. And you can do that simply by agreeing that that is what you would like to have happen. Take a deep breath. And I release all of my limited stories and all that has gone into a negative storyteller, along with the painful memories. I release all of these to you, Lord Jesus. And I ask for complete healing as I forgive myself and all involved participants, as I choose now to step free through grace, knowing that you have already made provision for me to have joy instead of pain, and a beautiful life that reflects the divinity of our Father. And so that is what I want. And so it is. So every one of us has a story. So the question isn't one of whether we have a story or not, but whether that story is one that empowers us, or is it a story that limits us and relegates us to never really manifesting our full potential. So let me ask you, what is your story? Can you remember a time when someone turned to you and asked, "So tell me about yourself?" Can you remember your response? Well, you know, the response sometimes is governed by the context and the person that's asking. For example, very often when you're being interviewed for a job, the person will turn to you and say, "So tell me about yourself," or "How do you see yourself contributing to our business here?" So our need for that particular job may cause us to focus on only one small area, namely our work history and our experience and professional skills. Or sometimes if you're in a Christian gathering, you'll be asked to give your testimony. How did you come to accept and know Jesus as Lord and Savior? And generally your testimony is about how you were before, miserable, addicted, whatever, and how you are now after you've been delivered and set free. And so that's one slant to a story. Then there are those first date scenarios where you are literally fishing for mutual areas of interest and compatibility. Basically, you're interviewing a potential mate or life partner. And seldom in those contexts do we go into any depth, because we're trying to make a good first impression. And sometimes these other less, let's say, desirable aspects of our personal history, they don't even surface until you're well into a relationship or married. In fact, some people are allowing their entire life to be defined by something that happened to them in childhood. There's even people who allow things that have happened decades ago, maybe 50 or 60 years ago even, but they keep telling that same story over and over and over again. And there are others who base their entire story and define their entire life on a level and dimension, an expression that has nothing to do with their life in this dimension, in this physical world and body right now. That's kind of unfulfilling if you're trying to live your life in a dimension that's largely intangible and invisible and really largely not able to be experienced and consummated in any true way right now in your physical life. So often people will have these romances that supposedly take place with a twin flame or someone that actually exists in another dimension. How unfulfilling will that be? when you can't have any kind of a consummation or genuine relationship with someone and something that's not in the same dimensional appearance and reality. And yet many, many people, light workers and so forth, define their lives in terms of what they're doing in another body, in another world, on another planet, in another dimension, in some council of light somewhere in the galaxy far, far away. And these are people that are living what I would call a fabrication, a life that is fabricated out of a story that they've told themselves about, but it isn't one that empowers a really vital, productive life now, in this time, in this body, and in this dimension. There's an ancient saying, as above, so below, as within, so without. So if that higher self is actually, in fact, integrated and homogenized, so much so that it becomes your multidimensional presentation here and now in this lifetime and body, that's a different thing. But that takes a lot of focus upon spiritual integration and cultivating and synthesizing those levels so there's a congruency between the inner and the outer and the above and the below. So they become an expansion of divine awareness here and now without any separation or division or sense of difference. And that's a different level. But here we're talking about the story that we keep putting forth, that we tell when we talk to our friends, that we email back and forth about, that we blog or we chat or we do the instant messages or we text about. What is that story? What is the story that you tell yourself in your head all the time? How do you define your beingness? It's so important to know that. It's part of self-mastery. If you don't know yourself, how could you possibly know anyone or anything else, including God? It's all an inside job, isn't it? It's all part of that revelation of the divine self. So this points to another area to consider. What is the payoff for example, clinging to a painful story and refusing to move on? Well, many times a person will cling to an old story simply because of the pain, as odd as that may sound. The pain is a sensation that for many people they've identified with their own existence. They don't have any other reference point for being alive than their past pain and the story that they've built up around that. I hurt, therefore I exist. Another common payoff is significance. My painful story gives me significance and defines who I am. People notice and remember me as the one who had this and this and that happen. You know, you can fill in the blanks. Therefore, the payoff is attention and sympathy. And as long as one gets significance, attention, and sympathy, one can hang out in that limited story and not have to do anything else. Interesting point of view. Talking about lower self patterns that undermine the greatness that we're being called to exemplify. And that limited story that people run is then used very often to manipulate and enlist others in their personal small drama that has been called the tyranny of weakness, when a person emotionally and psychically manipulates you. People who are operating out of a limited negative script need others who are willing to be enlisted to their cause. So they're always on the lookout for those that they can enlist in their karma drama, because victims need victimizers that they can point out. So be wise and don't allow anyone to enlist you in their negative life drama. You're here to live your life and to create and live your story. So don't allow yourself to be played by another. And for heaven's sakes, don't be a player yourself. If you're not sure whether or not you are being played and enlisted in another's drama, here's how you can find out. Just withdraw from that person's drama arena. Withdraw from it. And don't interact in the way that you normally have previously. And then just watch and see what happens. And observe how they react. If they're not setting you up, they won't be concerned with your lack of participation or engagement with them. They'll just assume that you're busy and, you know, they'll feel secure. However, if they've been using you to support their limited story and suddenly you're not there supporting it, they will become very angry. So when you don't meet their expectations, they will try to get you to react to them by all kinds of emotional and psychically projected pleas. And if that fails, then they will attempt to manipulate you with anger, accusations, intimidations. This is a really, really common pattern in relationships. But, you know, when they do that, you have your proof. You were simply being played as a pawn in their ego game. And this is the pattern that leads to breakups of all kinds of relationships and divorces. And the key, actually, to not creating karma is to recognize the pattern and get the necessary counseling or whatever you need if it's a marriage. But whether you stay with that person or break up, you have to forgive them. Otherwise, you will recreate that same relationship again. So, what to do when you find yourself in a situation like that and you discover that you have been played? Well, really, you don't have to do anything. As long as you don't harbor any kind of a negative energy with regard to that person, you don't have to do anything. Just continue to live your life and obey your own wiser self. And know that the price of freedom is the courage to be true to your higher self and to maintain awareness of what you're allowing to operate in your life. And again, be very aware and beware of the tendency to project your happiness and your fulfillment upon the behavior of another person. For example, sometimes people will say, I just want to be a good parent. Hello, what if your kids just totally head south, end up in prison, do all, you know, the things you could possibly think of that would point to the fact that you didn't do real well in parenting them? Is that going to mean that your whole life is invalidated? You see, people, all people, have their own lessons to learn. They have their karmic debts that come up. That would be an learned lesson. The best way to put it. It's an unlearned lesson that keeps presenting and presenting until you master that area. It's not a punitive action. It's an educational action. So don't place your story out upon the shoulders of another to where, you know, your success is predicated on how they behave, how they turn up, how they respond. You know what I'm saying? And when you say, I just want to be a good whatever, you can see how that can set you up for failure. in your own story. So awareness, awareness, awareness. It's always awareness, isn't it? Self-awareness. So it's important, I believe, that we take a very impersonal and objective look at the life script that we're enacting. You know, you need to pay attention to the things you keep saying, the stories you keep telling, both in your own head and to yourself and others. And where do you go when you have a trusted, underline trusted, and sympathetic listener? Or you let down your guard and let your hair down and let what's really going on in your life out? Particularly listen to your story when you're doing that. And if you have the courage to be brutally honest with yourself, you will soon see very clearly why your life is the way it is. You will also see why only you can rewrite or edit your story. That's your responsibility. Nobody else can do that for you. It is 100% your story from start to finish. And while others may seem to be involved, really they are only there because your personal script requires their participation as actors in your drama. So our areas of neediness and weakness are the very things that attract the neediness and weakness of other similar ego patterns. And these will exploit and play off of each other and take advantage of you. But who allows it? You do. Only you. So the only way to get rid of such energy-sucking ego leeches is to find out where you are weak and needy and deal with those negative patterns. As long as you continue feeding those energy suckers, there will be energy suckers to be fed. So your limited story will attract those who have the same corresponding limited stories. And we are defined by the stories we believe about ourselves and the stories we tell ourselves and others. Since we all have our personal stories, we need to really discover if the story that you're telling is limiting you from achieving the very best God has planned for you. Or if your story empowers you. It could be that your story is one of empowerment. Maybe you've learned this lesson already. Or there may just be a few areas in your life that you need to re-script. It's not always necessary to do a complete rewrite. You know, your story should evolve and progress and unfold to greater levels throughout the years. It shouldn't be the same story you had 10 years ago. So take a good look right now. Does your story empower you? Does your story, as you've scripted it now, as you see it, as you define yourself, does it fill you with a sense of purpose and enthusiasm and passion? Are you excited about your life? Are you really living your life? Do you feel your energy build as you tell your story? Does your story encourage and strengthen the faith and resolve of your listeners? That's so important. Do you empower others with your story? If so, keep working to evolve and advance it to even greater levels. Your story of today needs to be greater than your story of 10 years ago. So take a look. Has your personal story evolved and progressed over the years to greater, deeper, better. Where are you today in your story? You know, if it falls short of what you'd like it to be, you're going to need to create some new action steps. You need to do whatever it takes to establish a new energy momentum in your life. Anything will do, as long as you enjoy doing it. Whatever you enjoy will generate new energy. And you'll be taking steps that will begin to open you to new things, new possibilities, new progressions. Workshops and classes are very good to take. You know, just anything, music, art, dance, acting, whatever. It's an excellent way to shift your energy. So movement, whether it's physical, emotional, mental, or preferably all three, or spiritual, of course, is extremely important in shifting your energies and state of awareness. Shift your position, even physical shifting, getting up and shifting your how you sit, how you stand, how you walk. All of that is connected with the neurological systems and establish new states of consciousness. There's a whole science of mudras, you know, hand positions, bodily positions that's taught in India. And every position in yoga and in meditation in this mudra tradition opens up neural pathways of receptivity to new energy states, states of consciousness. So here's a very simple way to tell if you or another is caught up in and relating a limited, disempowering story. This is one that you've not only experienced many times, you've seen others do it continually. The minute you start relating a disempowering story, a victim story, a sad story, notice how the throat shuts down. The throat chakra constricts, gets narrower. The voice starts to get squeaky and weaker and starts to crack. And then the tears start to flow. Always, just watch it. Watch how that happens. And because you are channeling that energy of sadness through your vocal admission, the whole neurological system becomes depressed. The energy drops. And pretty soon you feel really sad and unhappy because your emotions will move right into what you have created with your vocal patterns and what you've stated as one that speaks for God. The energies have to obey you. You have created a state of sadness. So your throat chakra is also the chakra of truth. And when you're expressing less than from the truth of your wholeness, your throat chakra objects by shutting down. Likewise, your throat chakra is open, strong, and clear when you are boldly and honestly speaking from your divine wholeness, when you're speaking truth. So that same principle applies to muscle testing, kinesthesiology. Your body grows weak when you are not speaking what you know to be the truth. And you become strong when you are speaking the truth. So remember that you are made in the image and likeness of God, who is truth, goodness, love, joy, power. And that means you are also. And that means that your entire physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, your entire neurological system begins to weaken and break down when you're not expressing from divine wholeness. It's an instant feedback. You lower your immune system. You raise your blood pressure. You cause the heart to have a an inconsistent heartbeat. Whenever you feel sad and unhappy, and you begin the process of self-destruction. You know, all disease comes from states of dis-ease. So the physical organism was designed to communicate divine love. And when it fails to do that, everything breaks down and becomes diseased. So, here would be some good journaling exercises for you. What areas in your life are the most fulfilling and make you the happiest? What areas are flowing the best? What areas are the least vibrant? And get the connection here. Flowing implies vibrancy. And vibrancy and flowing means that there's more life force. There's more spirit present. More spirit is flowing in the areas that are making you the happiest and the most full filled. There's that word, full filled. Filled with fullness, wholeness, abundant life. That's the idea. Remember the lesson in the Course in Miracles. My happiness and my divine function are one. Happiness is union with God. Happiness is union with your true divine purpose. Happiness is God's stamp of approval on whatever it is you're doing. Now, mind you, we're not talking about mood making. Mood making is happiness because of. And whenever you put a because of, you've stepped out of the fullness and into the mood making. You know, you can't be happy because of someone or something or some possession or some position, because, you know, in the next instant you could lose that. And then where would your happiness be? So we're speaking about that deep down inside, regardless of anything, sense of well-being that comes from living well and in accord with your good conscience and your divine nature. So, what are the essentials for your life? Do you have those absolutely must-haves running in your life? You know, if they're spiritual, they're fine, no problem. But again, if you've got a must-have essential and it's not present in your life, then where's your happiness? So maybe you can move it to your top values. Love, peace, harmony, freedom, justice. I said freedom already. You know, your value core. What are your core must-have most important values in your life? That's a big key if you want a really good, compatible relationship, is to pick a partner that shares the same values or compatible values. So, are you willing to pay the price for whatever it is that you must have? You know, everything has a price. And everything has the need for maintenance, no matter what it is. So is it worth the price, and is it worth maintaining? You know, once you move into a level of self-realization, you have to maintain it. As long as you're in a physical body, you can fall. when you're liberated, Jivan Mukta, you have to maintain that state of spiritual freedom. As long as you're in the labyrinth of illusion and mind manifests, you can get snagged. So you can never relax the vigilance of maintaining your spiritual inner awareness. Now, do you know that the only thing that ever really blocks anyone is fear? And fear is false evidence appearing real. And here's an interesting thing that people sometimes do. Sometimes people create problems so they can escape from their fear. How is that? Well, problems are a defense against the truth that there really are no problems. There really are no problems. The problem is thinking you have a problem. The Course in Miracles states that trust would solve every problem now. Interesting, huh? The Course in Miracles also states that the only problem is separation, the perception of separation, because really there is no separation. And the only solution is at-one-ment, or the atonement. And of course, we interpret a situation as a problem whenever we feel separate from whatever it is we believe will solve the problem. I think the difference between a neophyte and a master is that a neophyte will go, oh, woe is me, I don't have this, I don't have that. It's a big problem. I can't meet the needs that are being presented to me, whatever they are. Whereas a master simply doesn't waste any kind of energy doing the woe me number. A master simply is proactive in assessing the situation and immediately taking the necessary step that's in front of him or her to deal with it. It's always a proactive moving, and again, this is a key word, they proactively move into whatever is energetically presented as a possibility. And in the movement itself, they generate the power and the energy and the resources to meet whatever the situation is. In other words, their action generates whatever is needed when it meets the force of their intention. Big key. So masters never have problems. And another way of looking at it, life is just a series of problems to be solved. You know, if you're looking at it from a, you know, a purely human level, the average soul that's coming in from not a master state, but an evolving human. You know, it's a whole series of problems. Sometimes people wait until they have a life that has no problems before they get involved in deeper spiritual studies. How silly. You know, the life of the lower self is always going to be full of problems. It is a problem. It's a belief that you're separate from your fullness, your wholeness, your holiness. That is a problem. But it's a story that you tell yourself. You could tell yourself a different story, too. I think we're going to probably live up to the bar we set for ourselves, just like other people live up pretty much to the bar we set for them. So set your bar high and live to that level, because you have every tool available spiritually to do that. It was built into your equipment by God when you were fashioned before the extension into time and space. So another interesting lesson the Course in Miracles brings forward, that would be the Master Jesus and his more advanced teachings, is that we project sickness and disease also as part of our limited story, as defenses against the truth that we remain as God created us, ever perfect and whole. Yeah. We create that. That becomes another defense against the truth. Jesus goes so far as to state in the Course in Miracles that all sickness will vanish when we truly see how worthless it is and how it has absolutely nothing to offer us that we would truly want. Wow. I know, these are profound truths that require some time to marinate and develop in our understanding. And yet, these contain the very keys to our permanent escape from self-imposed limitation. Very important keys. So do you get the sense, seminar after seminar, that we really are the ones that decide what our life is about? We are the ones that decide what limits us. We're the ones that have been given free will and the box of crayons to color our pictures any way we want to. So here is a simple way to work with fear. Let's just assume we all have some area where we have fear. And this is how you can harness fear. Fear is an energy. So take the energy of fear and redefine it as unleashed power. Fear is energy. Rescript it as unleashed power. Then make a decision to move that energy into action. In other words, participate with that energy. Unleash it into participation. The minute you move fear into action, it transforms it into power. That's your key. The moment you move fear into action, it transforms into power. That's your secret. Ask any good actor. You know, if they don't have stage fright before they step out of the wings, they'll all tell you that they do. But the minute they step out on that stage, it transforms into stage presence and the power of their performance. You know, I'm an ex-circus performer, and I can tell you how effectively that works. I can't remember a time I wasn't afraid to do my aerial work. I used to do an act called the Iron Jaw, Slide for Life. And I would hang by my teeth and slide down a long 45-degree high wire, slant it down, long sucker, about 200 yards, really fast. And every time I did it, I was scared. But I had to do it. And so I just ignored the scare. I did it anyway. And it always transformed into power. And the power into the high of victory. So when I would get down, finish the slide for life, and take my bow, I was invested with the power of victory that comes from overcoming fear. And that sense of accomplishment, I did it. And that is a worthy high to have. So these are huge keys in life. To know that fear is what limits and blocks, and that fear becomes power when you move on it and participate anyway. So the bottom line here is, do it scared, but do it. Participate in your life. You know, nobody's grading you on performance. We're all works in process, but you sure have a lot more of a life going for you when you get in and participate, whatever that level is. So it's up to you to make your story a great epic adventure of facing and moving through and conquering your fears and bypassing your limitations and being the hero in your story and playing your drama full out, downstage, center, right to the audience, pitching it for all you're worth. Go for it. It feels so good. And it feels a lot better than your limited story. And you don't need to find a greater story than the fact that you breathe life on this planet and are present here in this greatest time in the history of this world. You are here at the end of a 26,000 major cycle, the graduation, the harvest, the dimensional shift to a new higher version of the Earth, possibly graduating from this entire planetary scheme, or maybe you came in from a higher planetary world and you're getting ready to return to a higher dimension, to a higher world. We pass through the planetary worlds as classrooms of consciousness. You know, people sometimes say, well, what planet am I from? Beloveds, look up in the sky and point. Any place that you point is going to be a place that you have touched to at some point. You know, you live in a quantum universe, a holographic universe, in which every fractal of your appearance in time and space reflects within the whole and reflects as the whole. So you're always a macrocosm in a microcosm and a microcosm within a macrocosm in one great tapestry of eternal life. You can never cease to exist. You will always be greater. You will be ever-expanding divine light, love, sound, awareness, wisdom, potential, creative intelligence. Get a sense of how big the bigger story is. His story. His, her story. The great story, the big story. The story of the vastness of an ever-expanding, loving, creative, intelligent universe that has everything under a perfect rhythmic harmonic unfoldment. Everything is perfect and fulfilling its divine purpose. You get high enough, you see the perfection. You get low enough, and all you see are the problems. So practice soul transcendence and move your spiritual inner awareness to the viewpoint of the soul, which is one of joy and freedom, spiritual vitality, positive energy, and always seeing the potential and moving into it. People are always looking for stargates. Beloved, your mind is your biggest stargate. Open that star of initiation that shines above the forehead of every true initiate of the higher life. Open that stargate. Enter the kingdom of heaven that exists beyond that brow, that exists beyond that chalice chakra of your heart and your throat and your brow and your crown chakra. Soar beyond your small story. Dare to live vast and large. Dare to believe in yourself. If you do not know the self and the power and beauty of yourself, if you do not truly love yourself, you've never met yourself. You've only been keeping your attention on your small story. Ask to meet your true self. Ask Jesus to take you up and introduce you to yourself. Yeah, it's going to look an awful lot like him. Yeah, as my spiritual master John Rogers said, all those dudes up there look alike. You know what? All those dudes up there do look alike. Jesus was the original pattern, original blueprint for the perfect Son of God. But we're cut out of the same cloth, out of the same pattern. And our Christship and our divine perfection looks a lot the same. Oh, it's unique, of course, in our light and sound and wisdom encodements. But we're talking about essence here. And a rose is a rose, no matter how it is called in whatever language. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a life that blooms with the fragrance of holiness and perfect, the perfect fragrance of your own divinity, your own unique fragrance. And yeah, the higher you get, the more you develop a fragrance. You know, you can smell the masters and identify them by their fragrance. Sai Baba smells like his vibhuti. Some say jasmine. The Master Maurya smells like sandalwood, or myrrh, or amber. And Jesus and Mother Mary, they smell like roses. So each master has their fragrance. And you, as a master, have your fragrance. Have your unique coloration. Your unique melodic refrain. Your unique way of being the love and the wisdom and the truth and the creative consciousness of the One. And that individuality with a capital I becomes more and more expanded until you find that you pass up through the different orders of the hierarchy and you find yourself represented at each level by a divine function. So again, people ask, well, what do I do on the inner planes? Beloved, move your spiritual inner awareness up into the level you want to inquire about, and look. Take a look. No one will deny you if you have the ability to move inside yourself and to look. You can see. And if you won't use that to be vainglorious and go and abuse your power in the lower worlds, you'll be able to register that consciously as a knowing within your own spirit. But you have to be spiritually mature and not use things like that against yourself and others. For the abuse of greatness is indeed a great spiritual crime. That's why the masters that are the most powerful are the most silent and the least seen in the outer worlds. They work from behind the scenes with very, very subtle spiritual impression that's registered on the monadic level. That would be the level that most of you New Agers call the I Am Self or the I Am Presence. Or the Christians would call it the spirit self. But whatever you call it, that is your divine Atma, that your divine eternal perfect component that then clothes itself with individualized will and higher consciousness and lower consciousness and higher emotions, and lower emotions, until it coalesces into your personality in time and space within a physical body. But as you begin to move and incorporate more and more of the integration of your levels, and you keep progressing and moving deeper and deeper multidimensionally, you're going to meet yourself on every planet, every star system, every galaxy, every parallel probable reality, every sun, every orb in the cosmos, every council of light. You're going to see yourself and recognize yourself in and as all things. So that's why it's not necessary for you to fabricate a vainglorious existence right now. In fact, it's better that you live a very real, authentic, and productive life with what you've got going with you and for you right now in your present human incarnation. Try to make it as expanded, as wise, as loving, as empowered, as fulfilling, and as beautiful as you possibly can. Take the cards that you've been dealt in this lifetime and play the game of life. But keep in mind that you've got all of these levels within you already. Everything that you ever have been, ever will be, and ever could aspire to be are present in you and with you eternally. Within time, there is an appropriate presentation. There is an appropriate way to be that is congruent and consistent with this timeline and this school of consciousness that we call the planet Earth. But there's infinitely more. And so remember to maintain heart coherency. Remember, we did that a few seminars back, so let's do it again. Place your hands upon your heart. And remember, you can't be in your limited story. You can't be fearful and angry and grateful at the same time. So transform all negative states into the power of gratitude. And here's how. As you touch your heart, recall something or someone that you're grateful for. Feel that gratitude. Breathe it in. And smile with your heart. Smile with your liver. Smile with your whole being. Simple, huh? Yes, life is simple, so don't complicate it. Simply live your best possible life story. Script it beautifully and live it beautifully. And let's go out chanting, Anai Hu. Deep breath. Anai Hu. We send a blessing out to this entire planet. May every man, woman, and child be filled and baptized with the love of God. May that which is the fear and the negative component dissolve into a little puff of little black smoke that absolutely dissolves in the love of God. And may we awaken and gloriously move into the new dimensional Earth, governed by living love. Love and blessings to all. And God willing, I will be with you next week. Adonai.